We'll call as Elizabeth Mulcaney, guardian ad litem for GSD of Minor in Commonwealth of Virginia. It's just one side. Good afternoon.
I'm Lois Control, she's guardian ad litem for GSD. I've been as guardian ad litem since March 3, 2014. And this matter has been heard on the child custody visitation.
Can you speak up just a little bit, please?
Okay.
Thank you.
This matter actually began in October of 2011 in Prince William County. And eventually, it was transferred to Stafford. So I've been appointed by both courts to act as guardian.
Let me interrupt you, ma'am, just for one second. Ms. Forrester, could you move the mic a little closer to her? The acoustics in here are not very good sometimes. That's okay, it's the acoustics. Thank you, Ms. Forrester. All right, ma'am.
So the appeal on this matter assigns 2 years. 1 year had to do with the primary custody of the mother. And the second had to do with not finding that she could continue to violate orders. This was in the last hearing on May 28th.
May I ask you, Ms. Mulcaney, about your second assignment of error?
Yes.
Are you asserting that the trial court erred in not finding her in contempt after show cause rules were brought? That she should have been found in contempt?
Well, that's really a difficult question, because frankly, I had filed 2 rules to show cause, 2 motions. But there was a misunderstanding in the clerk's office, thought they were the same, that I had already had a rule issued. So truthfully, there was no rule issued as to the second one, which was actually more relevant.
Okay, but on the first one, go ahead. No, go ahead. I was just gonna say, on the first one, are you saying that the court erred by not finding her in contempt?
I'm saying that the court erred in not finding that she could violate court orders. I don't believe I used the word, I did use the word contempt. What happened is, sorry, I'm not trying this in order, but the court, in 2 consecutive hearings, in July and November of 2014, found the mother violated court orders. And that they were so egregious that he was sentencing her to 60 days. But he allowed her to purge it if she violated no other orders. But the next hearing, which was scheduled for January 2015, there was no court hearing, because he wasn't coming to the hearing. Thereafter, it was May 28, 2015. So there's no question that she violated court orders on that day. I think her own witness was, in effect, that she could violate, she interfered with the father's right to go to the daycare and to visit with his child, to participate in classes with the child.
Would you agree, counsel, that the way that a court manages its docket with regard to contempt proceedings and sanctions and violations of court order basically fall down to the judge exercising his or her discretion to decide what they want to do in a particular case? Would you agree with that principle?
Yes.
Okay. Now, as you know, I sat on the juvenile court for a couple of years, and Judge O'Brien did too, and Judge Beals is very experienced in these kinds of matters, and we also see these matters from time to time in circuit court. And the way that these cases are approached from the bench is that we allow the trial judge, to manage the case as he or she deems fit. In other words, The judge is trying to manage the case based upon the evidence and the circumstances presented to him or her, and they do whatever they think is appropriate to manage the case in the best interest of the child and in the best interest of the parties. They do what they think is right as far as justice is concerned. If we were to adopt the approach that you're suggesting that we adopt, wouldn't we essentially be taking over the day-to-day management of the case and second-guessing the trial judge as to how it was managing the case?
Ultimately dismissed all the show cause rules, yes. both the show cause rules against her and the one that she brought against
yes,
the child.
Although the one that she brought against the father, they had moved to dismiss it immediately.
Okay. But the other ones, the court dismissed all of them.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I wanted to be sure.
So.
No, that's all right. I didn't mean to throw you off by starting with your second one.
Was it suggested as a dispositive factor or a factor to consider under the totality of the circumstances? Didn't the trial judge refer to ancillary circumstances as to why her being primary physical custodian was a good thing, speaking specifically about the half-sibling of the child?
Violations over the years of the father's rage of visitation and not a primary caretaker, who's acting in the best interest of the child.
Unfortunately, in most cases that I saw as a trial judge, there were pros and cons relating to both parents. You know, each one of them brought particular good things to the table and some things that were not so good. And it seemed to me that instead of just making a non-exhaustive determination as to who was the best one, the trial judge recognized that both parties brought some issues to the table and then assessed it from the proper perspective, and that is focusing on what is in the best interest of the child. And as I read the record in the matter, it seemed that the father's involvement with the child increased as the mother did things that were not favored by the trial court. So it's clear, at least from looking at the record, that the trial court was concerned about some of the things that mother had done and had essentially rewarded father for doing good things, but never reached the ultimate result that you're suggesting, and that is a change of primary physical custody. Where do we find an abuse of discretion based upon all of those circumstances?
Well, once again, I'm saying, and I recognize that you disagree with me on that.
Not necessarily.
I feel that you cannot just simply say that as the primary caretaker, she is the one who should have primary physical custody. Because that's where the same thing that they do in West Virginia and in Minnesota. Once a parent is determined to be the primary physical custodian, then that parent gets awarded.
Well, can I ask you? Can I ask you on that, to follow up on Judge Alston's question too, as mother continued to violate the court's orders, and you pointed out a number of those, didn't the court increase considerably father's visitation? He never got as far as joint custody or primary custody, physical custody to father, but didn't he go from supervised visitation for just one day to not only unsupervised visitation, but visitation over weekends and other days during the week and just increased amount of time of unsupervised visitation? Is
well, no, I'm glad you both asked that question because it's not correct. What happened was that the father in the Prince William County Court. When this court had its first hearing in January of 2014, it had an order from the previous court transferring the venue.
When it went to Stafford?
Yes, thank you. And allowing that court to know, Stafford trial court there, that the mother had violated court orders there. Because there was never, even before there was any hearing on violations, his visitation had been extended.
So his visitation for the father did not increase once it was in Stafford, despite all of what was going on and the mother's violation.
In January, his visitation was increased substantially as a result of that hearing. But after that, we just had many modifications. What time was he to pick them up at the daycare center?
But no overall increase of time.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
The summer vacation was the same, was pretty much the same. You know.
So you're
I don't think that at all that it was the court trying to reward the father. I don't know if I have it, but I'm sure I did. That the court was very impressed with the father. And he told the mother that this is, you're not going to find somebody else like this.
Yes, that's in the appendix. It's at 78 and 79 and appendix page 133. That is in the appendix that the court recognized that the father had done well and had overcome some circumstances in his own life.
And just procedurally, the award of custody was January 10th, 2014, initially.
Yes.
That's where the court made those findings.
Yes.
And the more recent case that, or the more recent hearing where the other court, I guess it was, dismissed the show cause rules.
No, it's the same court.
Oh, it's the same court, okay.
Because that's a very important
okay.
Factor.
So,
what happened is that, again, the judge heard testimony, as you can see from my objection,
right.
In the very first hearing in January, and also he had notes from the previous court,
right.
That this was a mother who violated court orders. So what he did at the end of that first hearing, it was not a final decision.
That was my question. That was continued till the order that you appealed, that you ultimately appealed.
It was continued for 5 hearings,
yeah.
Well, for 4 additional hearings.
Okay, thank you.
Because I think that he was concerned with the mother's behavior. I think he had an experience about the other child. And again, with respect to AD, it was always the court who brought up the issue of the other child. Neither parent, there were no pleadings, no arguments made at all that it was necessary for the child to be kept together. Fact,
but that's something, that's a statutory factor that the court as a finder of fact can consider. Is that right? The relationship
it's
that each child has with
the small part of one factor, factor four.
Okay.
But at the same time, the child had so many siblings, or brother, not siblings, but cousins, at his father's home. His father lived with his mother and his sister. They had ample room. And there were 2 children, his actor's age. So that factor five says that the court should consider other relationships.
Ma'am, your time has expired. We appreciate your presentation. It's unusual that we have a GAL come to the court and argue, and we appreciate your zealous advocacy on behalf of your wards, ma'am. All right, the next case the court will call and hear is Rebecca Allen and Joseph William Allen.